Hello, and welcome to Drinking the Kool-Aid. This is a comedy podcast dedicated to the mysterious. My name is Cassidy.
My name's Amanda.
And happy Monday, everybody.
Happy...
Or Wednesday.
Wednesday.
It's Monday for us.
It is Wednesday for some people, but yeah. It could be Monday Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday or Sunday, whenever people listen to this dang episode.
We don't know your business.
And frankly, I don't want to. Actually, that's a lie. I do.
You do. Yeah, you do. Absolutely, you do. You want to know everybody's business.
Yeah, of course I do. I'm like, you know those memes of like people looking at things or cats looking at funny stuff, and it's like, me, I don't want to get involved in anyone's drama, and then it's like also me, but tell me the tea.
You're like leaning in. Yeah. Like, hello, I'm here. Yeah, Amanda does love the tea.
Oh my gosh, my ears perk up when someone goes, I have something to tell you.
Can I be mean for a second?
Can I be mean for a second?
Yes, bitch, you're always mean. What are you talking about?
My favorite thing to say, actually, I just sent a text message this morning that said, I don't want to be mean, but...
Oh, yeah, that is also you. You try to pretend like you're not being mean, and then you say the meanest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, but I'm telling you in the beginning that I don't want to do it.
Yeah, but I have to.
But I have no choice. Listen, I don't like it, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Know what I want to do really bad, speaking
what?
Of that?
Tell me.
I want to get my ears, like, professionally cleaned. Have you seen those videos? Have you seen those videos where they, like, rinse it with water and, like, all this gunk falls out of people's ears?
That's fucking gross.
I know, but don't you want that done to
no,
you?
No, I don't.
I want it to be clean as a whistle in there.
First of all, I was really excited because I thought you were going to say you want to get your ears pierced.
No.
And I was stoked.
No. I had my ears pierced, and my ears are allergic to literally every single thing that I put in them, even like 24 karat gold.
Well, I'm sad.
No, I want to get my ears professionally cleaned.
I hate that.
Why?
I don't know.
Think how satisfying it would be.
Maybe.
So much crap comes out of your ears. It's crazy. I mean, I don't think I'd have that much crap in there, but maybe. I don't know. That's
a
thing.
You probably do.
Yeah.
We all do. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there's like that lady who got her ears cleaned and a whole spider came out.
Don't.
See, don't you want your ears cleaned
no,
a little bit now?
I don't want to know if there's a spider.
You want the spider to be in there?
Why can't he live in there?
Well, he's dead probably, just rotting in there.
Well.
And then he causes an ear infection, and then you have a brain infection, and then you die from dead spider disease. Is that what you want?
You're making that up.
No, I'm not.
I
it's
do...
something that could potentially, probably, maybe happen.
There is something wrong with one of my ears because, like, maybe once every 3 months I get, like, a really bad, like, little ear infection moment for, like, 3 days.
Yeah, you probably have something in there.
Yeah, it's a spider.
It's probably a spider, let's be yeah. honest. It's or maybe okay. it's one of those little water bugs with the long antennas. It could be one of those.
You're the worst human being alive. You know that?
They call them earwigs for a reason. They're trying to get in there. They crave the ear. They crave it.
No, there's definitely something in my ear. Like,
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
But it's none of my business.
I feel like maybe that should be some of your business.
I just don't think so. So how much does this cost?
I don't know. Apparently it's like a thing they do at Korean spas.
Okay.
I don't really know that much about it. I've just watched so many videos of it happening.
You watched a video?
Yeah, I watched like 50 videos.
Of like earwax coming out of people's ears?
Yes.
You are sick.
Yeah, I have a brain disease that is undiagnosed. We all know this already. You're not telling me anything new, baby girl.
Tell me something I don't know.
Ooh. You can get your ears cleaned out with water.
I don't
but
want
they,
to.
They,
massage it?
Not massage. They have flowing water that goes over, like, into the ear
mm-hmm.
and out, and then stuff comes out with that.
I don't know.
It does. I feel like it might cure me.
I hate to tell this story because it's really gross, and he's not here to defend himself, but one time I was driving in the car with my husband, and...
A spider came out of his
not
ear?
Not a spider.
A bug?
No, a ball of earwax.
Oh, that's not that gross.
Fell out of his ear while we were driving.
That's kind of crazy that it just fell out.
It was crazy.
Like unprovoked?
Yes.
Unprompted?
Yes.
It just made its way out. It was like,
well, I think he like
making my way downtown. And but it was a ball at earwax instead of Michelle Branch.
I imagine Michelle Branch comes out of your ear.
Imagine. It could. We don't know. Like you said, anything could be in there.
Is that Michelle Branch or Vanessa Carlton?
That's Vanessa Carlton. Okay. I always get them confused. Me too. Michelle Branch is...
A Thousand Miles.
Yeah, A Thousand yeah. Miles. Which, did you know that song potentially could be about Glenn Howerton?
Who?
Dennis from It's Always Sunny.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, he's kind of hot, so
they were
it.
At Juilliard together, and she has said that it was about somebody. She will not name the gender, but I think people have gathered that she's straight. I don't know. But she said it was about somebody that she went to Juilliard with who was a few years older than her, and he was at Juilliard with her, and he was two classes ahead of her or something.
Listen, I like him, so I
get
it.
Me too.
I would walk 1,000 miles for him, probably.
If I could just hold you tonight.
How did we get here from the earwax
situation? Oh, sorry. So an earwax, a ball of earwax. How big are we talking here?
It was pretty big, like quarter size.
Jumped out of his ear, made a great escape.
Pretty much.
That's crazy. Imagine, he must have something really fucked up in there. For
probably.
That, it rolled. Maybe he has like a dung beetle in there.
Yeah, I was going to say, what if the spider like pushed it out?
It pushed it out. It was like it needed a little more room. It had friends coming over to play poker that night. It needed to clear up some space. I get it. I've been there.
No, yeah, it was a very upsetting situation.
Wow. Really bizarre that it just unprompted.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Did a little dive.
It did.
Crazy. Crazy bananas.
So yeah, so if you do it...
Let do you want to see the? Would you want to see the video?
No, but I do want to know what comes out.
Of course you do. We all do. That's why I'm very surprised you don't want to know whatever is in your one weird ear.
Because I really think it would just ruin my life.
I do think if a bug came out of my ear, I would spiral for many months. I will tell you that.
Because then I'd be like, what the fuck else is in my body?
Yeah, I think...
Like, how many spiders do we eat? So many.
Well, I heard that that's not true.
I don't know. If they're in my ear, they're in my mouth.
I'm not a mouth breather, though.
I am.
Are you? Do you sleep with your mouth open?
Yes.
People tape it closed.
I don't want to do that.
Apparently, it like improves everything. Improves your sleep. I mean, you sleep well already.
I sleep great.
But it improves your sleep. It can actually help like with the shape of your face, to improve the shape of your face.
Oh.
But so
I could get behind.
I sleep with my mouth open, but I breathe through my nose.
How do you know?
Because I just know. Because whenever I catch myself falling asleep, my mouth is open, but my tongue has got it locked down in there.
So you're saying
yeah,
that if a little buggy...
It would just be stuck in the cave.
It would be trying to get through your tongue, and it couldn't because your tongue is solid.
Oh, it's solid. It's professional with what it does.
All right.
It would have to take a little U-turn, head right back out, and try again for the nose.
What if it just like, do they go up your nose too?
Maybe. Why not? You know what I mean? They're onto something, those little guys.
They're inside me.
Mischievous. Oh, they're inside you for sure. Did you know if you are allergic to shellfish, like very severely allergic, you're not supposed to have pre-ground coffee beans because there's so much roach shell in it, and apparently it's the same protein that you're allergic to in roaches that you are to shellfish. Can anyone who's allergic to shellfish confirm this for me? This is something people have told me many times.
Can you go jump off of a bridge?
Why?
Because I drink pre-ground coffee.
You just said you're fine with them being in you.
I don't want to eat the dead ones. I want to eat the live ones. When I'm sleeping.
As a treat. It's a treat. It's for my sleeping body.
What I don't know won't hurt me.
It's none of your business, frankly, what bugs are doing to you at night.
But if I know, then that hurts.
That's like why I can't sleep in the nude.
Oh,
because I'm too convinced that a bug is going to crawl up into a hole somewhere.
They're probably in me there,
too. They're definitely in you. They are in you.
They're in every orifice.
I'm so afraid. You're going to die and just so many bugs are going to fly out of your body. Imagine
that.
You get hit by like a car and just bugs everywhere.
I'm like Oogie Boogie.
Yeah, the Oogie Boogie Man. You've just been collecting bugs inside of you.
Really, my skin is just a suit and it's filled with bugs.
That would be a good title to like a, what's that band that has really long titles to their songs?
Who?
Like Panic at the Disco.
Do they?
Maybe it's not. No, Fall Out Boy is the one that Fall always has really Boy. Long. Like,
yeah.
If they had a song titled "My Skin Is Just a Suit and I'm a Man Full of Bugs,"
I would listen to that song.
Yeah. It probably would slap.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to need them to get on that. Ben Gibbard, get on it.
Who's in Fall Out Boy? Pete Wentz?
That's not. Yeah. That's a different guy.
You said a name
guy.
And I was like, who the fuck are you talking
that
about?
That guy is from Postal Service.
What is wrong with you?
And Death Cab for Cutie. I don't know. I think I just say things sometimes.
You do. You definitely do that.
My brain is just like, maybe this will help. Say this maybe. And I go, okay, I like what you're giving me. I'm going to throw it out there and see what shakes loose. Probably some bugs.
Pete Wentz is who is in that band.
Yes, but he's not the lead singer.
No.
He's just the guitar
That's
player.
That's just the guy I know.
Yeah, they made him the front man because he was the more handsome one.
Which, like, eh.
Oh, I was a big Pete Wentz girl.
Yeah,
I had a giant Pete Wentz poster in my room when I was young.
Oh, did you?
I did, yeah.
That was your man.
Poster.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I like it.
And Jensen Ackles.
Hot.
Supernatural.
So, he is so hot.
I just was a Supernatural girly. I don't know what to tell you. And David Boreanaz, obviously. And Elijah Dushku.
Oh.
David Boreanaz is Angel.
Oh, wow. You have, okay, so you had good taste at one point in your life.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm proud of you. I don't know what happened.
Just mental illness eating away at my frontal cortex. That now, it's probably all the bugs.
Well, what about me?
I got bug-brained.
But what about me? I have a
lot
of bugs.
That's why you like reality TV. Your bugs like reality TV.
Oh.
My bugs, for some reason, are sexually attracted to Kyle Mooney.
Yeah.
It's confusing in there.
There's a lot going on here.
It's more, you know what? If you ever find yourself being a weird little guy, a little freak, just remember, it's not your fault. Those are the bugs God gave you, and you got to live with
That's
it.
That's so true.
Those are your bugs, and you got to take care of them.
You do. You got to nurture them, and you got to give them
and
what they
gotta
want.
And you got to give them what they want.
Yeah.
And if they want to watch Winter House and Summer House in order that is chronological, you got to give them that.
Summer House, seasons 1 through 5, then Winter House.
Then Winter House.
Then Summer House.
Then Summer House.
Then Winter,
then
House.
Winter House.
Then Summer House.
Or maybe your bugs want to watch The House That Jack Built when you're alone on a Saturday night.
Isn't that like a really weird, creepy, gross movie?
It's a scary movie. Yeah.
Scary.
It's psychologically a little damaging as well. Listen, my bugs need therapy, maybe. I don't
know. They definitely need therapy.
But the problem is,
maybe there's a little couch in your ear.
And we could get a little therapy bug in there to therapize all my weird head bugs.
Yeah.
And then maybe I'll be more normal.
Maybe.
Do they have insurance?
Definitely not.
I'm not paying out of pocket for that.
Definitely not.
I am not. Listen, I will nurture you guys. I love you, my head bugs, but I can't afford that right now.
No.
I don't have that kind of skrilla.
Absolutely not.
Skrilla, that's a way to say money, right?
I was going to just ignore it. Because I didn't want to come at you for everything you're saying, but...
It's not me. It's the bugs.
Skrilla.
I think that's what it's... I think that kids call money Skrilla.
No.
They don't?
Remember Skrillex?
Skrillex?
Skrillex.
Oh, yeah. Probably every single traumatic thing that happened to me in college, Skrillex was playing in the background. Anytime I hear like a beat drop, I'm like transported to a dirty dorm room where some guy I don't like is trying to corner me. Like, immediately. I can taste the Four Loko. Things are weird.
The Four Loko.
There's somebody with their pants off not far from me.
Probably
like,
me.
Probably.
No, there's a random girl coming into your room crying her eyes out, falling to the floor, asking for your roommate.
Yeah, like, I get like...
Skrillex is playing in the background.
It's Skrillex is was always playing. Basically always. If you went to college from 2010 to 2014, you had some at least one traumatic experience that was underscored by Skrillex.
Of course.
Yeah. You were in a weird basement. You didn't know anyone. Things were happening.
Wait,
Skrillex
you were
was playing.
In a weird basement. Everyone's making out with everybody.
Yeah. And your one prude friend left you. That's me. I left.
To go get food.
To go get White Castle.
With the really religious boy.
With the really religious guy who was also a prude.
Yeah.
We both dipped. We were like, things are getting weird. Skrillex is playing.
I was getting weird.
Maybe time for some White Castle, for some tiny little sliders.
Yeah.
I do like White Castle.
See, the bugs in my brain were like, let's make out with everybody in this room.
Different bugs. See?
And they did.
It's not your fault.
It's not.
It's the bugs. And my bugs were like,
We gotta go.
We gotta get some Bergs.
We gotta Harold and Kumar this
we
shit.
We do, yeah. We gotta go our own way. What about us? What about bugs?
Wow, this is off the rails.
I'm glad that my bugs finally get to say their say. It's almost been 200 episodes. They haven't had a thing to say. Now they're coming in full force.
This is their time to shine.
This is their time. They deserve it. They earned it.
They do. My bugs are all dead, apparently. So they I don't might know. Be dead.
Your bugs are just dead.
They're there, but they're not moving.
You got to live with the bugs God gave you. I don't know what to tell you.
That's true.
It's not your fault.
It's not my fault.
Just remind yourself that every morning, guys. You look in your eyes and you think you see something moving behind one of your pupils. Just say, "It's your fault. It's not my fault. It's you, little bug guy." Do you see things behind your pupils?
My eye was throbbing today. Like, it felt like something was trying to break out of it. I'm not even joking.
Your bugs are revolting.
I'm not.
What did you do to them? They're turning against you.
I just thought I was dehydrated, but I guess not.
I mean, you probably are dehydrated, if I'm going to be honest.
I swear. It was literally like, my whole eye was just like throbbing. Now I'm thinking that it's a bug.
It's a bug trying to break loose.
Oh, my God.
He's so tired of
the break free, break from the chain.
Yeah. Wow. Every good song. We're killing it right now. The bugs are bugging. I'll tell you that.
I'm sweating.
Me too. I was really cold, so I put on my new giant sweater that I wear every day. And now I'm a little sweaty, but I'm too sweaty to take it off. That's a problem.
Well, I'm not wearing anything underneath my
I already
sweatshirt.
Knew that. Yeah. I could have called that from a mile away. Yeah, so how are your guys' bugs doing? Let us know in the comments.
Yeah, I hope they're good.
Drop what kind of bug you think is inhabiting your body. Is it a regional bug? We don't know. For us, it's probably roaches or those little water guys.
Definitely.
That's just the bug I see the most.
Or maybe those little maggots that filled our apartment that one time.
That was so crazy. Have we ever told that story?
I don't know.
On this, we might have been too embarrassed, but it's, we're in too deep at this point.
Hey, it was 11 years ago
now. It was a really long time ago. And for the record, our apartment was not dirty like that.
No, we hardly had anything in it.
Yeah, we were too poor to be messy.
It was a very minimalist apartment.
It was minimalist. We had a broken coffee table that was always breaking, always hurting you because there was a screw sticking out of it.
Oh yeah.
And it would just hurt you sometimes. And then we had the tiniest little love seat as our whole couch that we got for $150 down the street. And our apartment was huge.
It was.
And we just, that's all we had. And then we had the smallest TV you've ever seen.
The tiniest television.
So far away from us.
We had no anything. Like, we had no pictures on the walls.
No, we had a Christmas tree that we kept up all year.
Mm-hmm. I don't even think we had a lamp.
No, no lamp. It was poorly lit in there. I don't think there was the only light was coming from the kitchen.
Yeah.
So it was always real dark in the living room. Really bleak. And then we inherited a mattress that just laid on just a bare mattress.
But before the mattress.
Before the mattress.
A gaggle of bugs
showed up for like 3 days in a row. This is very haunted now that I'm looking back on it.
It was weird.
So we had hardwood floors. Mm-hmm. And the way our apartment was set up, it was two stories. So the bottom floor was kitchen, one of our bathrooms, and the living room, which was just like a huge, big, long tube, basically. Yeah. It was like all one big room. All hardwood floor and then tile in the kitchen. And the only place we had carpet was on the stairs leading up to the second floor. And then upstairs was both of our bedrooms and another full bath. Mm-hmm. So one day, as you guys know, not a morning person over here, I'm awakened to screams of terror and fright. And I run downstairs, and I remember, I don't know why, but very vividly I remember that I had one sock on, and I was just wearing a really big t-shirt and underwear, and one sock. And, like, because I thought Amanda was being murdered. That was the scream that was scrumped out of her.
Yeah. What else did you want me to do?
I don't know. And I come downstairs, and I'm like, oh, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And Amanda's standing at the entrance to our living room, just like, like freaking out, like crying. She has her hands like over her ears for some reason, and like I'm trying to get it out of her what happened, and she literally cannot say. And so I just walk around her and look in the very bleak bleak living room.
Open space living room.
Just completely open. Once again, three pieces of furniture, and they were all comically small for how large the room was. And there's just a pile of maggots.
No, no, no. This was not a pile.
It was, they were collective.
This was a lot of maggots.
It was a big pile. But I'm just saying they were all in one spot, like together.
Oh, maybe the first day.
Because remember, we went through the entire downstairs being like, there has to be a reason that this is happening.
Yeah.
And we didn't find anything. There was nothing like rotten. There was nothing wet. We thought maybe there was some sort of like leak happening.
Well, I recall the second day coming downstairs and it was a much bigger pile, like almost the whole floor.
That did not happen.
Is that in my brain?
That is in your brain.
I remember the whole floor being
moving
with the maggots.
Like it was Indiana Jones.
Yes. And then you had to like go in there and sweep them all up because I was crying on the stairs.
Yes, I did do that both days. It happened 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
And then never again.
Yeah.
It was so
weird. And we
weird.
Didn't even do anything to get rid of
we
them.
We never
sweep them.
We complained to our like manager, building manager or whatever, and it stopped before she even had a chance to get anyone in there. And then when they came in and inspected, they looked around and told us there's no leaks, there's nothing
weird.
There
was no holes.
There's no holes, there's no smell. Like, it's a hardwood floor. We have no idea where these came from. And then they just never came back.
There had to have been a dead body somewhere.
Something weird was like, going on. Maybe just some of our bugs busted loose.
They came out of me.
Yeah. And they were making their way downtown.
They were trying to get out.
They were like, please, we can't eat McDonald's again. Please, if I have one more slice of Papa John's pizza, I'm not going to make it.
That's it. That's all we had.
Yeah. But it was very bizarre, and it never happened again. We thought maybe our cats had worms. We took the cats to get to the vet to get dewormed. Neither one of them had worms. It was so weird. There's no explanation to this day where these bugs came from.
Maybe that was the start of you being haunted.
The start of something new.
Like, that was the beginning.
That was the time Beelzebub or whoever showed up.
I mean, maggots? That is a haunted-ass bug.
Maggots just, what is it? What's the word I'm looking for? Appearing, creating, forming out of, like, thin air? That's crazy.
Oh my God, that was the worst time of my life.
Oh, yeah. Amanda was looking at other apartments. She was convinced that we were going to move. I was like, we have $40 between the two of us. We're not moving. Literally could not afford to move.
No.
If this place burnt down, we would just be homeless at that point.
Listen, that place almost fell apart when there was an earthquake. So
that apartment was having some, there was a big
It was like on
earthquake.
Pegs.
It was on pegs for some weird reason.
Like the whole building.
And we parked underneath it.
Yeah.
In between the pegs.
In between the pegs.
Literally.
Yeah.
And there was an earthquake. It really did feel like the whole, it like
shifted from side to side,
swung,
yeah,
like it was on a rope dangling from the ceiling or something. Yeah, that place
I
was
thought
wild.
It was just gonna snap.
Yeah, it did feel like that,
man.
What
good
a time
times.
What a time to be alive. Right when you're 21 and stupid and
21 and having fun,
yeah, and eating one large Papa John's jalapeno and mushroom pizza for the entire week because it's all you can afford and it was only $7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's how we lived. I know. I'm hungry now.
I know. Why is my stomach growling? I'm talking about bugs for the last 20 minutes.
Well, your bugs are hungry.
I gotta feed my bugs.
You gotta feed your bugs or else they won't treat you right.
Damn it.
Yeah. Hopefully none of you have a fear of bugs.
They do. Someone does.
They be having those fears.
There's absolutely somebody that is upset with us.
Is there a word for that, for being afraid of bugs?
Yes.
What is it?
Bugophobia.
Like arachnophobia, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder if there's one for bugs. That's specifically spiders, though.
Okay. I know there is one.
There has to be a word for it. There's a word for every weird fear.
Hey, Siri.
Uh-huh.
What is the word for fear of bugs? Entomophobia.
Let me see. Entomophobia.
Oh.
Yeah.
Entomophobia.
Okay, now we know.
Okay.
So if anyone has entomophobia, don't listen to this episode.
Maybe
it's a little late.
That should be the title. Entomophobia.
Entomophobia.
Because if you have that fear, you're going to know what it means.
You're going to know.
You know?
Yeah. But just so you know, you also have bugs in you, even if you have that phobia.
That's
sorry.
So true.
You just get the bugs God gives you.
What are we supposed to do? We're not God.
It's not up to us.
We don't know what to tell you.
It's the fates. It's the universe.
God.
Yeah.
Well, that was fun.
That was fun. Should we welcome some of our new bugs?
Some of our little bugs.
Some of our new little cool kid bugs.
Yeah.
Little buggies. Welcome to Becca J.
Hi, Becca.
Welcome to Chrislyn.
Hi, Chrislyn.
Ooh, that's a really unique name. I've never heard of that. Welcome to Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
Welcome to Michaela F.
Hi, Michaela.
And Red Roots.
Red Roots. Hello.
I got no roots, but my heart will never on the ground. Wow, this is a musical episode. So I wanted to say thank you to some people who bought us some beers. I don't know why I keep forgetting about these. Thank you to Jeff the motherfucking Jenkins, or just Jeff, but I like the first one better. He bought us some beers and said, thanks for being as cuckoo as me and making me laugh when I can't go ride my horses to calm me down. I feel like that was a very weird sentence, but such is life. Drink some good shit and think about me. Not in a weird way, you nasty. But when you tip your glass, think of me.
That was a good one.
Jeff actually messaged me when he sent that and was like, I'm drunk right now. And I'm like, Cassidy and Amanda should be drunk right now too. And then sent that. And I was like,
you were
nice.
Right, Jeff.
You were right.
We should be drunk right
Jeff,
now.
Jeff, I believe, is the one who was on American Idol. It's that
Jeff. Oh my
god. The tragic backstory on American Idol.
Always, yes.
Mike V also bought us some beers and said, I'm a big fan and I'm missing my friend and former coworker, Kyle G, aka Kyle Bay of New Mexico.
Kyle.
He's the one who told me about the podcast. I'll send in a story soon about my own experiences. And in the meantime, I wanted to express my gratitude for you getting me through a 22-hour drive back to Santa Fe from a wedding in Georgia last summer. Many thanks for the stories that made the journey for all the work that has come since. Looking forward to episode 200 Milestone. Aww. All my best, Mike. Thank
my
you,
God.
Mike.
I like people expressing their gratitude for us.
It's really lifting you up.
Yeah.
So Katie also bought us some beers and said, I just had to update my credit card for Patreon membership, LOL, and I cannot fucking believe it's already been a year. You silly little gals make me miss Long Beach so friggin' much all the damn time, and you're just so comforting and feel like home. Thanks for the laughs and for the spooks and for dealing with all my random messages all of the time. You've been a flashlight through some very dark moments in my life, and you're seriously just the best. Cheers to another year. Love you.
I'm gonna fucking cry.
I know, that was really sweet.
What
a flashlight
hell?
In some dark times. You guys are like poets.
Oh my god.
And last but not least, Danny M bought us some beers and said, hello lovelies, have some drinks to celebrate my new car to me. I'm still shopping, but why not celebrate early? You two are such rays of sunshine every single week. Thank you for your genuine encouragement of your listeners to always be ourselves and to keeping me company on my commute to work every day. Hugs to you both and snuggles to the pups and the meow meows.
Oh my
love.
God.
That's sweet. Thank you, Danny.
Danny, buy me a car.
Danny, congrats on the new car. That's exciting. Maybe I think it's good karma that you bought us some beers to celebrate. It means you're going to find the perfect one.
So real.
So real.
Wow.
Thank you guys so much. And if you would like to buy us a beer, you can do that on dtkpod.com/support.
Support.
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 Support for our wonderful, like from viewers like you.
You know, every like 50 episodes we have one of these.
We got to get it out of us.
Yeah.
It's like a boiling pot of water, and eventually it's got to boil over.
Yeah,
I can
so
only
true.
Contain it for so long.
Our bugs are needing to sing karaoke.
The bugs need it. It's not me, it's the bugs. Well, on that note, we talked about bugs, we talked about butts, talked about blood.
We sang.
Guts, we sang. Now it's time to talk about crime.
Oh no.
Crime time.
Oh no.
I know. I've been putting off to telling this story for a while because it's really sad, but it's also really interesting, and the ending is something you'll want to hear.
Oh boy, I'm nervous.
Okay, so I'm going to be talking about the disappearance of Michael Mansfield.
Okay.
Yes. So my sources today were the charlieproject.org, the State Journal Register by John Reynolds, Top Tens by Robert Grimnick, I don't know. There's a lot of M's and N's happening in this name. Buried Truth, which is a series by Bonnie J. Thompson. And, of course, Wikipedia.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, so it's 1975. And we are on the campus of Lincoln College in Lincoln, Illinois. This is where second-year student Michael Mansfield lives in the dorms. So this is his second year at college, and he's known to be just this kind of soft-spoken, nice kid, maybe a little bit of a pushover, the way people were describing him. So when his friend, who's older than him, shows up on September 18th, this is Russell Albin Schmraker. Michael said that Russell showed up with a box full of records and asked if he could leave them in Michael's dorm because he was going to hitchhike back home that night and he was going to wait until he had a car to like take them to his house. So he asked him, hey, can I leave these in your dorm for a few days and I'll come pick them up later? And Michael kind of begrudgingly agrees, even though he knows that Russell has a bad reputation of being someone who steals a lot. And so as
he's a pushover.
Yeah, and as soon as Russell leaves, he has this bad feeling like, I really shouldn't have these records. Like, I really shouldn't. And it's about 150 LPs.
So we think that he stole them?
So he thinks that he might have stole them. So he decides, I'm not going to keep them in my room. And he takes them out into the hallway over by the trash bins.
Oh, Michael.
And puts them there. And of course, one of his neighbors sees him doing this. Like I said, Russell was known to be a petty thief, and Michael kind of just realized I shouldn't have these in my possession in my dorm room. But because somebody saw him putting them out by the trash bins, another student reported this to the dean when two other female students reported that somebody had broken into their dorm room, stolen 150 records, and a very expensive guitar. This guitar was worth somewhere between $600 and $800, and this is back in 1975. So okay. Expensive guitar.
I mean, okay, yes.
Yeah. So, like I said, student neighbor who saw Michael reports it to the dean and says, I think I saw those records. What are the chances? That's the night that it was stolen, and he put them out there. And when they come to talk to Michael, it's the dean and it's the police, and Michael confirms, yes, I had these records, and they tell him you are in possession of stolen items, so you technically can be charged with theft. And when they find Russell, because obviously he immediately tells the police, Russell gave these to me. I had no knowledge that they were stolen, but Russell gave them to me, and I was trying to be nice. And then the reason I put them outside is because I realized I shouldn't be involved with this. But of course, the cops are like, well, why didn't you call us then if you thought something shady was going on? But what 19-year-old kid is going to call the cops on their friend about something they're not even sure of? They just don't want to be involved anymore.
Yeah.
So the two become co-defendants in a burglary case about this. And because the price of that guitar was over $600, it's a pretty bad charge.
So,
because if you steal over $600 worth of stuff, it's like a way bigger deal. It's not petty theft anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like real theft.
So did Russell admit to it?
No.
Oh, so he said, oh, no, he did it. It's his.
I don't know what Russell's side of the story was. I don't know if he even said anything because Michael immediately, like, the cops knew about Russell. Okay. Russell had a reputation already. He'd been arrested several times for petty theft. And they're thinking, oh, we're finally going to get him because he stole something that was worth X amount. Mm-hmm. And so we can actually prosecute him. And like I said, he's also older than Michael. So the police decide, you know, we're going to give you a break. If you will testify against him in court, they're going to do this thing called a deferred prosecution, which basically is if you're on your goodest good boy behavior for 6 months, we won't prosecute you with this probably ever. But if you fuck up again in this amount of time, we're going to prosecute you for this. So on December 18th, 1975, Michael agrees to testify against Russell and signs his deferred prosecution letter. Now, right after he signs this, he goes back to stay with his parents in Rolling Meadows, Illinois, which is a suburb of the Chicago area, for winter break. he had also already testified against Russell for the college board, and Russell had been expelled based on Michael's testimony. So they the police basically told him, just give the same testimony you gave the college board in court, and everything's good. Good to go. Once again, Michael is a good kid. He'd been known as a good kid. He'd never really gotten in trouble. This was the first thing. He's just trying to be as helpful as he can be to get himself out of this, and also because he knows it's not good to steal from people.
Right.
So he spends time with his family. Everything's going totally normal. Christmas comes and goes, and now it is New Year's Eve 1975, going into 1976. Michael's a little nervous just because the trial is set to start on January 6th, and that is the day he's going to be testifying against Russell. So Michael is at home. It's the early afternoon of New Year's Eve, so December 31st. He's with his parents, and the phone rings. So he gets up off the couch, goes over, answers the phone, talks to someone for a few minutes, and then tells his parents that he needs to go run an errand, but he should be back in like an hour or so. It's early afternoon, so his parents don't really think it's weird or dangerous or anything's going on. And he also doesn't have a car, so they figure it must have been a neighbor or somebody who called him over for some help on something, or maybe to catch up since they found out he was in town.
Yeah, like they're like, he's not going too far because he doesn't have a car.
Yeah, he doesn't have a car, yeah. And it's December in Chicago. Yeah. It's cold, so yeah. they're thinking he's not going far at all. And also, it's the afternoon, so it's not even like he's going out on New Year's Eve to a bar. It's going to be crazy or anything like that. It's like 2 p.m. But the evening goes on, and Michael never returns home. Of course, the following day, when there's still no word from Michael, his parents report it to the local police, but there isn't really much interest. He's a 19-year-old college kid who was just about to go to court for theft, and it was the first time he really gotten in trouble. And the assumption was that he just booked it. He got cold feet. He couldn't handle it. He didn't want to testify against his friend, and so he just left.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Michael's family, the Mansfield family, they said the police really, there was like really a lack of an investigation at all. There wasn't a lot of interest. They came and took statements, and that was about it. And then the police felt even more justified in this assumption when a friend of Michael's at Lincoln College started getting letters and postcards from Michael from a different area of Illinois. So she turns them over to the police because she knows that Michael is missing. And then the police allegedly lost them. So the cops never told the Mansfield family about these letters. And the Mansfield family never got to look at these letters and see if it looked like his handwriting or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we know what the letter said?
I think just, hi, checking in. It's me, Michael. Whatever, right?
Okay.
So because Michael disappeared, the case against Russell kind of fell apart in the burglary charge. That word is so hard to say.
It is very hard
burglary.
To say.
Goodness gracious. But don't worry, this man cannot help himself. And he actually had been caught in October. This was after the incident with the records and the guitar. Had been caught in October stealing 3 big ribeye steaks from a local grocery store.
What the fuck?
So they were going to prosecute him with petty theft for that. Because they had multiple store employees and a real estate agent who was in the parking lot who watched it all go down, watched the employees confront him, watched them literally take the steaks out of his jacket pockets, and they had him dead to rights on this, at least. So the real estate agent was 51-year-old Ruth Martin, who had been loading her own groceries into the car when she watched the confrontation between store employees and Russell. One of those employees was also on the witness list. His name was Jay Fry, and he was the produce manager at the time of the stealing incident. And by this time, he actually didn't work at the grocery store anymore. It was like an Albertsons or something. He was the owner of a smoke shop or something down the street. Or no, sorry, not a smoke shop, a bait shop. So, but obviously, at the time, he was there. He's on the witness list. The trial was set for June 8th, 1976, but on June 2nd, 1976, 6 days before she was set to testify against Russell, Ruth Martin goes missing. There's no sign of her for several days until her car is found abandoned in Bloomfield, Illinois, and there is blood in the car.
What?
Some reports also said there was blood found at her home, like, a few weeks later, but I'm not sure how much or where in the home, but that was basically the end of it.
Okay.
This pushes the trial back, of course, but Jay Fry is still set to testify against Russell, and this is now late October that the trial is set for. But before that can happen, Jay and his 8-month pregnant wife, Robin, are brutally shot to death with a shotgun on October 9th, just 9 days before he was set to testify against Russell.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That if Russell is the one committing these crimes, you're doing a lot for just the fact that you stole some ribeyes.
Yeah, for theft.
Sir.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
So this time, obviously, police were called because there were multiple shotgun shots. Like, that's very loud.
Yeah.
And the bodies were found at the scene. Russell, obviously, is immediately the number one suspect.
And killed the pregnant wife, too?
And the pregnant wife.
Oh, my God.
He's immediately a suspect. They try to start an investigation. They find enough evidence. And so when Russell comes into court on the 18th, they kept it on the down low that they knew it was him because they knew that he would skip town if he was going to be arrested for this. So they waited for him to come in to court like, oh, everything's fine on the 18th of October, and they arrest him at the courthouse.
I mean, how could you not think it's him?
Yeah.
That's really fucking suspicious.
I mean, the other two people disappeared and they didn't investigate him at all or put two and two together at all. They basically said, oh, we think that Michael Mansfield is a runaway and we don't know what happened to Ruth. Like, nobody really looked into it. No body, no crime.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Did the second crime happen after Michael was already disappeared?
The second crime?
The
stealing
ribeye.
Of the steaks?
Yeah.
Yes. Or no. Before. It was October.
Okay.
Like, when he's literally about to go on trial for the guitar, he steals these steaks.
Okay.
And so I'm assuming the reason they decided to prosecute for the stakes and go for it is because the guitar case kind of fell apart because Michael went missing.
Got it. Okay.
So he was arrested. He's charged with double homicide. And luckily this time they nail him. And Russell Schmaker is sentenced to 200-year prison terms at the age of 21 in 1977.
So they're saying you murdered these people.
You murdered the just
Jay and his
just
pregnant
Jay
wife.
And his wife. Okay. Yes, the Fries. Jay and Robin. So obviously, everybody locally is assuming that Russell also killed Ruth Martin and Michael Mansfield. But there was no rest for this family. There was no real investigation into either of these cases. They closed Michael's case completely. And they did the same not long after to Ruth's case.
Whoa.
But in 2006, the disappearance of Ruth was reopened as a murder investigation, which gave them more funding looking for her remains. And they had like a cadaver dog that they thought kind of was on the trail to something, but nothing substantial was ever found.
In 2006.
2006, yeah. 30 years later
Holy
or whatever.
Shit.
And there was a lot of heat on the local police because the families would still bring it up. And the local police department at the time basically didn't investigate these two missing people. And it led to the death, the brutal killing of these two other people, of the Fries. And because she was pregnant, it just added a whole other level of brutality. And apparently they were really fucked up from this multiple shotgun shots to their bodies. But people basically were saying to the police, if you would have taken these disappearances more seriously, even just had a thought in your head that, yeah, we don't have enough evidence to arrest him for these things, but maybe we should, I don't know, have a watch on Jay and his wife because they might be in danger because they are in the same situation that these other two missing people mm-hmm. are in. And maybe they could have prevented the murder of this young couple who are so excited for their first baby.
Oh, my God, stop.
So this narrative continues for decades, and despite prison informants actually testifying that Russell not only admitted to but often bragged about killing the Fries and also Mansfield and Martin, nothing ever came of it. They never did a case. They never found the bodies. There was no closure.
He told someone he did it. allegedly.
There were informants in the prison that were willing to testify that he said it. That's a whole other thing. Prison informants, because they are incentivized mm-hmm. with, you know, good behavior, time off their sentence, stuff like that, to testify to these things, they very often will testify to whatever the police want them to say.
Yeah.
And I think the police just wanted it to go away because they really fucked up. They really did not pay attention. They did not investigate these things. And they did not protect the Fry family like they should have, mm-hmm. especially knowing the history of people who are going to testify against this kid, which he was. He was 20 years old. So until 2011, Russell is in prison still, alive, and he's diagnosed with a terminal illness. And the police see this as their opportunity to maybe figure out what happened to Michael Mansfield and to Ruth. So they go in and they claim that Russell made a deathbed confession to both of the murders.
Oh my God.
The officers claim that he admitted to killing Ruth and hiding her body under a new construction of freeway, and that he wouldn't admit to killing Michael or say what happened to him, but he did admit that Michael is dead and that he was involved. So they say.
Okay.
So obviously, there's a little bit of peace. Unfortunately, the Mansfield family, there is nobody left to have that peace about Michael. But Ruth's family was able to be informed. But some people think that this might be all made up so that the police could close these cases.
Yeah.
So in 2006, when the case was reopened, there was this lady who's an investigative writer and journalist named Bonnie J. Thompson, and she is actually the daughter of the original prosecutor from these cases back in the 70s. So she's very invested in it. She has all of her father's notes, all this stuff. She wrote the books about the Mansfield disappearances and about this whole situation. So she thinks that it's BS because she had been actively working with the police department, giving them information that she had collected to, there was like a house that had been connected to Russell that was not far away from the Mansfield house. And the people who lived there knew him and had actually tried to give him an alibi for the killing of the Fry family. So these are people who are willing to lie for him. And they owned this house, and she had heard from an ex-girlfriend of Russell's who she interviewed that they had been at that house and there might be evidence at that house still of what happened to Michael. And then they completely ignored all of her leads and just closed the case again. And she thinks that this deathbed confession, which was only witnessed by two police officers, there's no recording of it, there was no nurse there or anything, might be BS so that they could get people off their back, because she had started kind of a public campaign on Twitter and Facebook harassing local officials to be like, what are you guys doing? There's all this information here and you are not investigating these crimes. These people deserve to have their disappearances and their deaths investigated and treated like real cases. Mm-hmm. Just because it happened a long time ago doesn't mean that they don't deserve the respect that any other victim deserves. So she claims that in 2016, they did investigate the house that she had originally told them about in 2006, and they did leave with two bags filled with something, two black bags filled with something, like evidence bags, but then it's been radio silence since then, and there's been no updates from the police. So she claims that she thinks that Russell never made this deathbed confession, especially considered she had talked to Russell multiple times in her investigation of these cases, and he had basically flat out said, I know I got away with this, and no way am I ever going to admit to it. I'm going to make people think, and it's a whodunit for the rest of their lives. There will never be any peace on this. Like, this man is a true psychopath.
Yeah. Crazy that he went from being a petty thief to being a murderer.
Yeah, real quick.
Yeah.
Which, that's another thing that Bonnie says. She thinks that there might be other crimes that could be connected to him, and the police don't want to have to deal with it and bring up this old stuff, because there was just a real lack of good policing in all of these cases, basically the entire situation. And she thinks that it's embarrassing for them, so they use this deathbed confession as a way to just, like, cover it up and get rid of it and be like, we figured it out, deathbed confession. Bonnie also claims that there is substantial evidence to connect Russell to another convicted murderer who was a young man who killed a family of three. It was a mom, a dad, and their middle child who were home. Killed them, stabbed them all. It was like 92 stab wounds in total. And then claimed that he killed them because he wanted to be like Charles Manson and like make a whole war against the rich because the rich are ruining his life and he's gonna, you know, Charles, whatever, stupid. He said he read Charles Manson's book and watched the movies and whatever. And his name was Michael Drabbing, and he was also sentenced to life in prison for the stabbing deaths in 1976. They were cellmates previously before they both committed these murders.
Oh.
And I don't know what it is because I just did not have enough time to look this much deeply into it. And like, it would just be, it's such a crazy rabbit hole for this whole section of it. Maybe I'll cover it in a separate thing. But she thinks that there's actually a connection between Michael Drabbing and Russell. And it's this whole big conspiracy being covered up by the police because one of them actually was very close with a local politician and police chief at the time. And so there might be some embarrassing skeletons in those closets. And she's trying to uncover it. I don't know how accurate this is. Obviously, anytime you get into things that are like big cover-ups and government conspiracies and whatever, I'm always down to listen to them because we know the things that the government has covered up and that have come out. And they've been really fucked up. And local agencies are no better. We know this for a fact. But that's like a whole other can of worms that I would have to cover separately. But we are pretty sure that the right guy went to jail. And even the judge who sentenced Russell said, like, you are so depraved and fucked up. That's why he gave him two sentences of 200 to 400 years that need to be served one after the other. Basically saying you never have a chance to. Right. Get out. And the judge also said, if I could give you the death penalty, I would. The amount of brutality in this killing and just like the fact that you were trying to get out of the dumbest petty theft and you're willing to kill people. And he also alluded to the fact that other people had gone missing who were set to testify against him. Everybody knew, you know?
Yeah, that's like he has so many other crimes under his belt then because you just why would you murder a bunch of people to stop them from testifying you over petty theft.
Because you want to kill people.
Because you stole ribeyes.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
I think because you want to kill people.
Yeah,
because
you're a murderer.
Yeah, you don't think killing people is a big deal. And so you just are like, why would I not get rid of this problem that I'm having in this way that I know works?
God, I really needed those three ribeyes.
Yeah, after he used it on Michael and nobody really came looking for him. And that was another thing that people were saying, you guys fucked up so bad. He thought, yeah, I can just keep getting away with this. And he did. He got away with it twice. I mean, technically, he's always got away with it. He never got prosecuted for either of those murders. They never found Michael's body. They never found any of the remains of Ruth. We don't know where these people are. They do not get to be put to rest with their families.
And Russell died.
Yep.
Jesus.
The police claimed that they did drive around with Russell and he tried to point out where he dropped Ruth's body, but it had been so long and things had changed and construction and whatever that they were never able to pinpoint a location. Yeah. Crazy, right?
What the fuck?
I know. So I found this story because I was looking up deathbed confessions because I was like, oh, that's kind of a weird thing. Mostly actually because we were talking about, we did a Patreon episode about JonBenet Ramsey, and you said, I don't think we're going to figure out what happened to her unless there's a deathbed confession. And I was like, yeah, that's such a good point. And then I was wondering how often that actually really happens. It doesn't happen very often, but there definitely have been some people who have done it. There was actually a guy that I was looking into who thought he was dying and confessed to killing someone, and then he got better.
Oh, no.
And so he went to jail. Whoopsie daisy. But yeah, so hopefully one day we'll find out something about what happened to Michael and Ruth, of course. And it's just so tragic what happened to the Fry family. And it totally could have been avoided if the police had just like paid attention.
It blows my mind that this guy just started murdering people.
Yeah. And the
and he was like 20. Like he was like 20. Fresh out of college. Like
yeah.
Or he was still in college.
He was still in college, yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
He was a junior at Lincoln College when he got expelled for the first theft of the dorm room. Apparently, things had been going missing in people's dorm rooms from the moment he was enrolled there. That was just the first time they could prove it. Which is another reason I think they wanted to, like, really crack down on him, because they knew he was up to no good.
Well, so now we have to wonder, was Russell the one that called Michael on the phone that day?
Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing. Nobody looked into any of this stuff because they just assumed he was a runaway because he was afraid to testify in court.
It had to have been like, hey, man, I just want to talk to you about.
And he was at that house that wasn't that far away. He could have been like, hey, walk over to this house or I'll pick you up or whatever. And then you never see him again.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he doing these things? Because they were so brash. It's almost like he wanted to be caught.
I feel like serial killers and like. People like this do the things, like, you know, when you're like, ooh, I don't know, will I get caught? Maybe I will, maybe I won't. So they do it. And then, like, I don't know. I think he just knew that the police weren't going to work that hard.
I think.
Or like you said, he was friends with some, he might have been friends with someone in politics.
Yeah. Yeah, I think once he got away with it, so seamlessly and the charges got dropped with the whole Michael thing, I think he thought, well, why can't I do it again? And then he did, and he got away with it again, and then he just finally did too much when he killed Jay Fry and the pregnant wife,
Michael's family.
I know.
And like trying to like figure out where the fuck your kid is, mm-hmm. and the police just aren't doing anything about it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's especially hard when you know your kid and you're sitting there thinking, I know for a fact he would not have done this.
Yeah.
He would not have run away. He was set to testify. He already had done it in front of the school board. Why would he suddenly get cold feet? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that is the depressing and strange disappearance of Michael Mansfield, which maybe had a deathbed confession, but people, like I said, do question that.
I had a dream last week that I accidentally murdered somebody, and I was like trying so hard to figure out how I would, like, I didn't tell anybody for some reason, even though it was like an accident, because like I think it was in self-defense, and then people were like questioning me, like, oh, I wonder where blah 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 is, and I'm like sweating in a chair, and then I like woke up and I was like, oh my god,
that's so weird. I had a dream almost exactly like that last week.
Did you really?
Yeah. Like same scenario, and I woke up so stressed out.
Yeah,
and
I was like telling stressed,
and I was telling my boyfriend about it all day. I was like, I feel so anxious, like I did something wrong,
right.
And I didn't. That is so
weird.
I had
like the exact same feeling, because
it was
all
super
day,
vivid.
Yeah, and like then the next day, literally all day, I was like, oh my god, like I feel like I'm covering something up, and I feel like I'm gonna get caught.
Remember, I told you about it.
No, I don't remember you telling me.
I texted about it in the group chat because I was like, I'm so stressed out. It was felt so real.
Well, yeah, you said you had a real dream. I don't think you said what it was, though, did you?
It was that somebody kidnapped me, and I killed them. And then everyone thought that it wasn't that. And I was trying to figure out, and I was like, oh, my God, I killed someone. Like, I have to live with this for the rest of my life.
I don't remember you telling that part.
Yeah. Maybe you might have been at work.
I remember you saying you had a dream and you were anxious about it, but I don't remember what the dream was.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, my dream was that I killed, like, a friend. But it was an accident.
Mm. Yeah.
It might have been you. I don't know.
Maybe. Crazy. But that's so weird. But yeah, and then you just have, I was so anxious all day. I had to literally sit in like a dark room and just try to focus.
But the point of me even saying that was just like, I can't imagine like murdering somebody and then you just go about your life and not ever think like you're going to get caught.
Right.
Like I would be so freaked out the whole time.
I think about just mean or bad stuff I've done in the past sometimes,
me too.
And just get that feel like, oh, just ruins my whole day because I think about something that I did, you know, when I was 19 and fucking stupid, and I said something mean to someone or hurt someone's feelings, or I, you know, treated someone I was on a date with like shit or something. Mm-hmm. Right, I think about stuff like that and it ruins my day. I can't even imagine. But these people are just different.
Yeah,
that me and you would never think to ever kill somebody, you know. So
yeah,
but yeah, I truly crazy that they just can go about their day
Literally.
I can go to work, go to school.
And just not think anything of it.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah. That's like BTK, man.
Yeah.
So crazy. Oh, which reminds me, I'm going to be covering another serial killer for our serial killer series on Patreon in the next week or two. So go check that out.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
All right. So mine is different. Thank God.
Always good when that happens.
Always good.
Yeah.
Would have been really big bummer if I also had a disappearance.
Yeah.
We should probably start telling each other.
I know. I actually meant to text you, but you like weren't answering my texts all weekend. So
was I not?
No.
Oh. I was like,
maybe she's mad at me or something, but I was going to text you yesterday, and then I was going to text you this morning and be like, just a warning, I have a disappearance. But
shoulda, coulda, woulda.
But then I opened our texts, and the last text I had sent you, like, a really funny meme, and you didn't even respond. And I was just like, she might be mad at me. I don't know.
Turns out I was just probably being a crazy person and spiraling in my own brain.
You? No.
Me? What? So today I am going to talk about the Devil's Tramping Ground.
Ooh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So my sources were NorthCarolinaGhosts.com, an article on WRAL.com by Heather Lee, WFMY News 2 by Megan Molaris, Amusing Planet by Koshnik Patauri, NCpedia.org by Kimberly Hewitt, and then some Reddit.
All right.
Okay.
I love Southern ghost stories.
Well, first of all, like North Carolina, Georgia, like all those areas are like super haunted.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I love a Southern ghost story. Yeah. Southern Gothic is probably one of my favorite styles of books to read too, and movies. So I just love it.
And also, as we know, what's in North Carolina, your favorite place on earth?
My favorite place on earth?
The Appalachian Mountains.
Oh, yeah.
And there's always spooky stuff going on there, So.
If you guys are into Southern Gothic horror type stuff, go read The Elementals. It's a very good book.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I haven't read it.
You won't.
I won't. But go do that,
guys. It would scare you. You would be too scared.
So, in my research, I learned that North Carolina seems to be a really big fan of the devil.
And here is, I think, and the devil went down to Georgia.
Looking for a
soul to
soul
steal.
So they're such big fans, in fact, that they have many different locations named after the man himself. So there's a town called Seven Devils. There's another one called Kill Devil Hills. And then there's all these like different locations all around North Carolina. There's the Devil's Branch, the Devil's Head, the Devil's Chimney, the Devil's Knob, the Devil's Fork, the Devil's Elbow.
The Devil's just leaving everything he owns in North Carolina is what it sounds like.
There's also a place called the Devil's Rock, which allegedly has the Devil's footprint embedded in a large rock.
Ooh, gotta go there. Gotta
see that one.
Seven Wonders of the World.
There's also a cave in a mountain called the Devil's Courthouse, where obviously the locals believe that's where the devil held court, baby.
Hell yeah.
So,
or hell no, depending on how it goes.
But that's why it says courthouse. Mm-hmm. He held court there. Mm-hmm. He's the judge. He's the jury.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He runs North Carolina.
As he should. All hail.
All hail Satan. But the most famous location for the devil in North Carolina is located in the woods right off of a road in Chatham County, and that is the Devil's Tramping Ground.
Okay.
So this spot is a very mysterious clearing in a perfect circle where nothing ever grows. So it's very similar sounding to like a crop circle.
Yeah.
So as the legend goes, after night falls, the devil walks up one path leading to the circle, and he tramps around and around and around as he thinks his evil thoughts and spends his time plotting against the good of humanity.
Of course. I think he's also twirling like a goatee.
Oh, absolutely.
Gotta be twirling.
He's twirling a goatee. He's really like pensive. He's like thinking a lot.
Yeah. He's got a lot going on.
Yeah. He's just like pacing in a circle, really trying to figure out like what harm can I do?
Yeah. What's something new and really evil I can figure out?
Yeah. Sometimes they say he's dancing, too.
Why not?
So, like,
Dancing with the Devil.
Dance. That's right.
On a cold blue night or whatever.
So, yeah. So, exactly like that. We like to think he comes here after a busy day at all the other locations that he's at, right? So,
yeah.
This is just his, like, time to relax.
He goes to court. He's got a long day in court.
Oh, my gosh. Such a long day.
And then he's got to go tramp a little bit to get it out of his system.
You have to unwind and tramp.
Yeah. If you're not tramping after work, you're really
not
getting
it right.
You're not getting your true relaxation in.
So the soil inside this circle obviously seems to be sterile, which is why nothing grows inside the circle. If you plant something, it will obviously die.
Mm-hmm.
Even things planted along the edge of the circle are also said to die.
Okay.
Sometimes every once in a blue moon, people will like plant something and they see like a little sprout forming and then it just dies like the next day.
Yeah. They're like, oh, maybe this time it'll work.
Like, nope. It's happening.
Yeah.
No. So aside from this being the devil's tramping ground or stomping ground, as some other people call it, there are some other theories for why nothing grows here. There is local stories about this location being a sacred spot for indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
So they said that they made the circle bare due to their ceremonial dances.
Okay.
And other people believe that the chief of a local tribe was actually buried underneath the soil here after a battle. And the tribal gods preserve the circle in, like, a memorial to him.
Ah, cool.
So that's why it's bare.
Yeah.
And then there's another one about these two tribes that, like, had a battle on this land. And their blood soaked through just in that circle. And that's why it's bare. So just, like, a couple little local legends.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's the UFO theory. Because as we know, usually the radiation from a UFO where it lands creates this sort of crop circle. It damages the soil. Nothing ever grows there. So a lot of people believe that.
Gotta get the dirt tested for radiation.
Well, we'll get there.
Oh, okay.
But this location seems to be mostly what people believe the devil hangs out at, which is why it's called the devil's tramping ground. Some even say that it is a portal, so this is where he enters into the human world from.
Ooh, okay.
In this location.
That makes sense. Circles, portals.
Exactly. So, not to bring up the Nightmare Before Christmas again in this episode, but this made me think of the scene where Jack goes to that kind of clearing in the woods and all the trees are in the circle.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's, like, the little doors to all the different worlds, right?
Yeah.
Well, allegedly, somebody came to the devil's tramping ground and took a photo, and in the photo there's like a tree and it kind of looks like there's a little door up in the tree.
Do you have this photo?
I do. This is okay.
I'm gonna need to see it.
This is allegedly the photo.
Allegedly, people.
Allegedly.
Mine's wide open. Oh,
but
yeah.
Doesn't that look like a little door?
It does look like a little door. It looks like a little fairy door, kind of.
Well. That's my next theory.
More fairies.
So I also agree that this looks like a little fairy door.
Yeah.
And there were a couple, like, journalists and reporters that put forth the theory that this is actually a fairy ring or a fairy circle.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that devil is small enough to fit through that door, personally.
Listen, I like to think that the devil is a skinny legend.
Well, of course he is.
He can fit anywhere he needs to fit.
Of course he is. I imagine him from Powerpuff Girls.
Literally, that is either
the devil.
That or the devil from, what was that other Cartoon Network show, the chubby little devil? He was like the little guy.
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
I only think of the Powerpuff Girls one.
The red guy. This guy. From Cow and Chicken.
Oh, yes.
With his little butt out.
He's kind of cute.
The red guy. That's what I always, either him.
Oh, he's a sassy little devil.
Oh. He's sassy, all right.
Wow. Put your butt away,
Did
sir.
You never watch Cow and Chicken?
No, I did.
Oh,
I
yeah.
just forgot about
he
him.
He was the red guy, but
yeah.
He was the devil.
But no, I'm picturing Powerpuff Girls, him.
Yes.
That's who this is in this story. So he can slither on through that little door.
Yes.
So what we do know is that this circle seems to date all the way back to the late 1700s, early 1800s.
Okay.
Because in a newspaper article in 1882, The journalist was talking to some local people that were like in their 90s, like almost 100 years old. And they were talking about how they remember going to the tramping ground when they were children.
Okay.
In 1925, a guy that was 74 years old told the newspaper that his grandfather took him to the tramping ground when he was a kid. And his grandpa said that the spot looked exactly the same as it did when he was a kid.
Ah.
So it's been there for like hundreds of years.
You're like, to your little kid, okay, have fun hanging out with grandma and grandpa today. And grandpa's like, time to go see the devil.
Babe, that's what my worry is when I have a kid with you.
Okay, but I'm not a grandparent.
No, but you're going to be
the spooky aunt who's going to scare him.
You're the spooky aunt that's going to say, okay, let's go see the devil. Like, absolutely.
Let's go see the devil.
Quite literally my worst nightmare with you.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah. You're going to go and you're going to be like, let's make a deal with the devil. You're going to sacrifice my kid, actually.
I wouldn't do that. I would sacrifice somebody else to make your kid more powerful.
Okay.
So that when they grow up and become a ruler of worlds, they've got the mystics behind them.
All right, that's fine.
Come on.
I like that.
They're family.
When you're here, you're family.
You don't sacrifice family.
So obviously this circle has literally been the same for hundreds of years now,
yeah.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But another creepier element to the circle is that it is said that if you put something in the middle of the circle and leave it there for a period of time, it will either be thrown out of the circle or disappear completely.
Ooh, okay.
And that's because the devil needs to tramp around. It can't be tripping over whatever you're putting in his path.
Yeah, what do you? You can't interrupt a man's tramp.
Absolutely not.
He's so traipsing. He's tramping.
Do you want him to trip?
He's
and fall?
He can't be tripping.
No. So he will remove it if you put it in the circle.
Bitches okay? may be tripping, but not the devil.
Not the devil. So sometimes people, or like obviously annoying teenagers who are trying to be cool, mm-hmm. will come there and they'll test their luck and they'll put something in the circle. And then they come back the next day and it'll either be thrown outside the circle or it'll be gone. Sometimes they do that with like beer cans and stuff.
Mm.
But people just assume that maybe it's like an animal just coming and taking the thing
away. As we know from the devil's chair,
mm-hmm.
the devil likes beer.
He does like beer.
Leave him a full beer.
Well, that's the Florida
Not
devil.
The can.
We don't know about the North Carolina devil.
Yeah, I don't know. How many devils do we think we're working with here? The Florida devil is definitely that little red guy.
Definitely.
Just
ass
Google.
Out.
Ass out.
This is Miami, bitch.
Miami. And he's thick.
Thick.
Thicky thick. Yes. Dummy thick. Google the red guy from Cow and Chicken. You guys will know what I'm talking about.
So there is a local story of a Boy Scout troop that decided to set up their camp inside the circle and sleep there.
Oh, no.
Listen, I don't know if they did this knowing
yeah.
of the story or
they're
if they...
They're just like, oh, look at this clearing. Yeah, it's perfect.
Or if they're like passing through North Carolina yeah. and stupid Bill is like, this looks like a good spot to camp. Let's camp here. Who knows, right? Either way, they set up their camp, they sleep there, and they wake up and nothing out of the ordinary happened to them. So they're just like, all right, let's get out of the tent, pack it in for the day, go somewhere else. But when they get out of their tent, they realize that they are miles and miles away from where they had
miles
gone to sleep. Miles.
Oh no. Oh no.
Tent
no,
included.
No. Oh no. Do not like that.
So the devil said, get the fuck out of here.
Booped him.
Booped him away.
Booped him right out of there.
Maybe down to Georgia. Who knows?
We don't know.
So obviously most normal people do not stay at the tramping ground after dark because they're scared of actually running into the devil or even just being in the woods at night alone because that's fucking terrifying and you have to be a crazy person to want to do that.
Yes.
But some people that have claimed to spend the night there have also claimed to hear footsteps around their tent all night long.
Ugh.
Some people say they were rocked to sleep by the sounds of something singing a lullaby.
That's so gross. I wish you didn't tell me that.
And other people claim to have horrifying nightmares that drive them a little mad.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right for the devil.
I mean, he's just doing his thing.
He's traipsing, he's tramping.
He's thangin'.
He's trucking. Keep on trucking.
But other than those crazy people that actually try to sleep in the woods, other people are even just scared to, like, pass the location in their car, to just drive past that area.
Oh, really?
So some teenagers will say that they lock their car doors and roll up all their windows when they're driving past the spot, because you never know.
That's fair.
What if the devil just runs out of the woods and opens your car door and jumps in, and now he's hitchhiking?
And now he's hitchhiking. You're running with the devil. Sorry, I don't know what's happening to me.
You got the devil inside you.
Yeah, I got a little devil in me.
It's definitely that red guy.
Oh, yeah. Sass.
One guy claimed that he tried to drive his car over to the spot from the road. So, like, literally physically drive his car into the woods. Mm-hmm. But the closer he got to the spot, the more his car started to, like, rumble and almost stall out.
Ooh.
So he quickly turned around and headed back to the road. And the farther away he got, the better his car started to work.
Okay.
So the next day, he's like, I'm gonna try this again. But he brings a different car. And the same exact thing happened. And it actually ended up stalling his car completely right before he reached the location.
Wow. Like, you're not gonna drive on me.
Absolutely not. Dogs are also allegedly terrified of this spot. They will not go inside it. They are said to cower with fear with their tails between their legs when they even come close to it. And it is also said that birds won't build their nests anywhere near the vicinity of the circle, like,
ooh,
in the trees.
Okay.
Which I thought was kind of cool.
That is.
In the 1930s, a newspaper kind of introduced the idea of a hellhound when they wrote about a great black beast that chases away hunters and their dogs from this location. And people have often claimed to see two red glowing eyes from the road when they drive past and, like, look into the woods.
Ooh, okay.
So no one's ever seen a hellhound, so I don't know if the article just, like, made it up. But why wouldn't the devil have a puppy?
Yeah, makes sense.
I mean, you need a little cute companion.
Everybody likes a dog.
If you don't like a dog,
grow,
like,
up.
I don't like you.
Grow up.
You know? So, clearly the fact that this soil appears to be infertile just in this specific perfect circle is something that obviously has always intrigued scientists throughout the years. Apparently, the forests of North Carolina have this naturally occurring salt licks where the soil has a high concentration of salt.
Okay, because that's why they say salting the earth. That's bad for crops
and stuff. Exactly. But even if that is the case and there is a high concentration of salt in this specific area, scientists were still baffled, like, why would it be in a perfect circle like that?
Yeah, it wouldn't make any sense.
Which got me thinking.
There's not a lot of perfect shapes in nature.
But it got me thinking about witches. This has nothing to do with the story.
Ooh.
But you know the salt circles that you do around, like, witches? I'm thinking Hocus Pocus.
Yeah. To, like, keep ghosts and witches and stuff away from you.
So who knows? Maybe someone just comes there every night and does that. Or maybe the devil does it himself. And he's like, I don't want to deal with the witches. So he comes, he sits in his circle and puts salt all around it every single night to keep the witches away from him.
Really is a perfect circle.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
There it is.
Huh.
So in the 2000s, a soil scientist named Richard Hayes tested the soil, thinking that he was going to see, like, a high concentration of salt in the soil or even copper, because I guess that's also big in North Carolina. But his results proved otherwise. So he didn't find a high enough quantity of anything to prove why nothing was growing in this one particular spot.
Hmm.
Then in 2015, he came back and he tested the soil again. And this time, I thought this was really interesting, the results showed that the soil inside the circle was even more fertile than the area outside the circle where, like, the trees and the grass are growing.
Yeah.
So he's like, vegetation should actually be growing and thriving inside of the circle.
Yeah, and people have even tried to plant things there.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So he concluded that there is some other reason that nothing is growing here, but he just has no idea what it is.
Interesting. Okay.
I thought that was kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
He's
That's
like,
crazy.
Vegetation should literally be thriving in here.
Yeah.
Because the soil is so good.
Yeah.
Huh. Crazy.
That is crazy.
So before the site was closed off to the public, which I think it is now, just because so many people were, like, vandalizing it,
mm-hmm.
A sign was posted on the spot that said the Chatham County Vortex.
Okay.
And it claimed that this spot was an anchor of Magdalene crystal column of energy.
Okay.
Which is basically named after Mary Magdalene.
Okay.
And it's about, I'm not going to kind of go into all the details of it because it's a lot, but it's about this expression of divine feminine presence and all this like mystical stuff that brings you enlightenment.
Okay.
So a lot of people believed that whoever put this sign here was just trying to steer people into like a more positive supernatural belief of this spot as opposed to
the devil
coming and doing weird stuff and like you go and make a deal with the devil and all this stuff in there.
Yeah.
But I think that sign is also now taken down. Gone. As well. Yeah. So to kind of round this out, I found a short story of someone who visited the Devil's Tramping Ground on Reddit. And this person says, I live in central North Carolina, about an hour from an area called the Devil's Tramping Ground. For some backstory on what this is, it is a large circle in the woods where nothing grows. It is said to be where the devil paces at night, plotting his schemes, hence why nothing grows there. If you spend the night in the circle, it is said that various unexplained things happen to you, like waking up outside the circle or hearing and seeing things you cannot explain. So I am now 30 years old. However, when I was 18, some friends and I decided it would be a good idea to go here one night at midnight. The GPS leads you to a gate. You have to walk into the woods a good ways to even find the circle. We had one flashlight for the whole group. The trip wandering around the woods was by all means terrifying. We finally found the circle, and sure enough, it was a circular patch of dirt where nothing was growing smack in the middle of the woods. We hung out for about 15 minutes or so and heard animals, but nothing really too out of the ordinary happened. We decided to leave, but when we got back in the car, it felt like something was watching us. Hard to explain, but just the feeling you get when you're being looked at. My friend was driving, I was in the passenger, and there were two friends in the back seat. We drove for about 5 minutes and came to a four-way stop. There was a street light providing some dim illumination. At the corner of this four-way, there was a daycare. In the daycare, there was a swing set with four swings. Three of the swings were still. The other was moving like someone was in it.
Ugh.
It wasn't moving violently like they were swinging hard, or even gently like they were barely moving, but somewhere in between. All of us in the car saw it. The only logical explanation can be some type of large animal that we didn't see brushed against it as it ran away when we pulled up to the stop sign. However, it was swinging like someone was there in it.
Yeah.
Not side to side as if it was hit by being ran past, nor did it slow down as we watched. It just kept steady.
Ugh.
What could it have been?
Yeah. And the devil.
Everyone in the comments were saying that the devil, like, this is also a place where you go to make a deal with the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe that if, you know, the teenagers come there and, like, sit there and maybe put things in the circle, that the devil follows you out.
Yeah.
Because he's like, hey, bitch.
You're interested?
You want to make a deal? Let's go.
Let's make a deal.
And then he gets on that TV show.
Yep.
So that is the Devil's Tramping Ground in North Carolina.
I love it. I want to go.
I thought that was kind of a fun one.
Yeah, that is a fun one. Well, I'm going to round this out with a listener story.
Please do.
So this is from Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Joe says, hey there, Cass and Amanda. I've got a story that might make you question whether it's a ghost tale or just a bizarre encounter. This all happened when I was just a preteen at my dad and stepmom's rented two-story house in the Bay Area, nestled in a cozy cul-de-sac with a bunch of homes occupied by the same extended family. The house they had rented was the grandmother's at the very far end of the cul-de-sac. To add some eerie background, it was rumored that the grandmother had passed away of old age in that house, specifically in the room where my two younger brothers and I slept.
Oh yeah, don't love that.
The house had a layout that included a garage and an office on the first floor, and upon ascending the creaky old wooden stairs, there was a strange, eerie storage room. The storage room had a tiny room at the end of it separated by a tarp-like drape, and it had nothing but an empty wooden room behind it, which always felt incredibly eerie to me, almost like a murder room.
Wait, this is really weird.
Why?
Because Sam, my husband's house, in the room that his grandma died in,
mm-hmm.
when you open the closet door, there's a room behind the closet.
There's like a second room.
Yes, and it's like wooden like that.
Don't like that.
That's kind of weird.
Murder room. Another thing that never sat right with me was the bathroom window, conveniently placed right above the toilet. Cutting off down to the knee length, offering a clear line of sight to the neighboring house's backyard due to the lack of fences. On a weekend night, my brothers and I spent at my dad and stepmom's place. They fell asleep right next to me on the couch. I was positioned in the corner that backed up to the hallway. Behind me lay the rest of the house, including the bathroom, the stairs down the eerie storage room, and two bedrooms. It was a strange setup, but for some reason I chose that spot to sit and watch one of my favorite movies at the time, Cheaper by the Dozen.
Hell yeah.
I loved that movie growing up. It must have been around 10 or 11 p.m. when I heard it. The bathroom door creaked open, someone unzipping their pants, and the unmistakable sound of someone relieving themselves in the toilet. I was frozen with fear, desperately trying to account for everyone in the house. They were all still asleep right next to me, even our dog, Max.
Max the dog.
Still trembling, I edged myself over to get a better view of the area I was sitting in, where someone could just come from. I quickly grabbed my phone, trying to call my parents, but there was no answer. I couldn't move, so I just sat there, praying that my dad or stepmom would answer eventually. Luckily, they did, albeit begrudgingly, leaving the party. When they returned, my dad checked around the house and found nothing unusual. However, when I examined the bathroom, I discovered fresh pee in the toilet, which sent shivers down my spine, but alas, no one believed me. Fast forward a few years, and I asked my dad about that bizarre night again. To my shock, he casually mentioned that he never changed the locks to the house, suggesting that it was likely just someone from the nosy family who had walked in to use the bathroom. That blew my mind. A random person could have entered our home that night. It could have gone so much worse. But my dad was not the best person, so go figure. What do you think? Was it a ghost? Was it a family member from the cul-de-sac taking a random midnight pit stop? Now, on a different note, I want to express my sincere appreciation for your podcast. I've been listening to you guys religiously for the past couple of months, and sometimes your stories make me paranoid, but I also love the topics and the banter. Some of my favorites were the Dyatlov Pass, the Hauska Castle episodes, and Cass, don't fret about the restaurant trip age. I've once been kicked out of a club for falling down. Oh, trippage. When I fell.
I was like, the restaurant trip. I remember.
Oh, yeah. I actually thought about that the other night, like randomly in the middle of the night.
We were just texting about it, too.
Yeah, because I couldn't stop thinking about it. It literally kept me awake. I've once been kicked out of a club for falling down the stairs. I may have been a bit tipsy, but I could have kept going, LOL. Seriously, I want to thank both of you for keeping me company during my commutes to work and while doing chores around the house. I love binging the episodes. I'm currently on episode 119, We Had a Scream, and I'm going strong. I hope to catch up soon. Thank you again for the amazing content. I truly appreciate both of you. Aw, thanks, Joe.
Wow, thank you.
It does make me feel better, because you know when something embarrassing happens to you? You're like, I'm the only person who has ever had anything embarrassing happen to me. And so it does make me feel better when people tell me like, oh, one time I got kicked out of a bar because I was so drunk I like threw up on a table or something. I'm like, oh.
I mean.
That does make me feel better.
That happened to me.
Yeah.
So.
It does make me feel better.
Yeah. Back to the pee in the toilet.
I think someone broke into your house.
I do want to know how you know it was fresh pee.
I mean, I would assume. Well, if pee sits in the toilet for too long, it separates.
Does it?
Yeah.
I've never.
And like it releases its ammonia.
Okay.
Yeah. I had a brother who would religiously not flush the toilet. And old pee smells. You can tell it's old pee.
Okay.
Yeah.
So fresh pee, no smell.
Well, I mean, fresh pee just smells like pee, but old pee smells like ammonia. Like that. Yeah. You know, when cat pee sits for too long, you get that like ammonia smell.
Yes.
It smells like that.
Okay. Gross.
Yeah.
I think it was the devil.
Amanda's going devil. I'm going, I think someone broke into your house, personally.
Yeah.
And peed in your toilet.
I think the devil broke into your house.
Maybe you had a creepy crawler.
What does you mean a creepy crawler?
Like those people, like the Mansons used to do it. They would break in and just like not to do anything, but just move your shit around and like pee in your toilet and stuff.
You should cover them.
The Manson family?
Yeah.
Have I not?
Nope.
I read that whole book.
You should probably.
That your husband told me to read.
Yeah, you should do that.
I should. I'll do it. I'll do it soon. I'll do it after our 200th episode.
Okay. Great. Can't wait.
Yeah. But thank you, Joe, for sending that in and for your kind words at the end. Sorry about the time you fell downstairs. I hope it doesn't keep you up at night like mine does.
Cassidy's not actually that sorry. She's happy that other people
have also been embarrassing. Yeah. But thank you guys so much for listening. If you have a story you would like to send in, you can do that at dtkpod.com/contact. You can also find our PO box there. You can find our Patreon on dtkpod.com, our merch, which we do have some new merch items out if you guys want to go check that out. You guys are the best.
No, I'm going to fucking cry.
Because you love them so much. I love them,
yes.
And if you want to send us a nice message, feel free to do that. You can contact us at dtkpod.com.
Please, I need it.
But most importantly, make sure you keep that front door locked.
Make sure you keep that mind open.
And keep drinking the Kool-Aid. Sydney immediately.
God, every time.
I don't know if Kate sent it in the group chat or just to me, but it was like that meme that was like, every tourist secretly hopes that somebody will start shit with them so they have a reason to fucking fight.
Absolutely.
All right.
And he is a skinny legend.
Skinny legend. Yeah. Snatched waist.